I think that anyone who reads or heard about dhammas should not follow instantly, but should have one's own consideration until it becomes one's own understanding. Whether what does it mean, how much it means.
Yes. But he talks a lot about metta, that he wants more metta for other people. That his idea.
Does he talk much about Panya?
Yes, also. He does.
We can appreciate that it's a good quality to have, but it doesn't mean it's just going to be there. And to think that we have to have more of it's just because there's a concept of a self that thinks we can change to be that way.
Okay, this is a little bit technical on sila. In this quote, it says, sila has the characteristic of composing silana, coordinated samadhana, and establishing patititana are also mentioned as its characteristics. Its function is to dispel moral depravity, or as its function is blameless conduct. Its manifestation is moral purity. Shame and moral dread are its proximate cause. These terms are characteristic of composing silana, coordinating samadhana, and establishing patititana are its characteristics. So here it's referring to the characteristic of all kusala jitas, is that right?
Different levels.
Different levels. Mm-hmm. Could you say anything more?
At moment of not killing,
yes.
And at moment of metta, at moment of understanding.
So these characteristics at different levels, sila, it must be there. What does it mean by coordinating samadhana?
At that moment, no akusala.
Okay. So coordinating kusala chetasikas?
Just whenever it arises.
Okay. And establishing, what does it mean by establishing?
With our sila, can other wholesome moments arise?
Thank you.
So this is a deeper way of understanding sila, and this is also an answer to Phil's question. To understand very well what sila is will help very much.
There's no need to think of sila separately from development of understanding.
Because that's also included in it's sila, higher sila.
Yeah. When people hear the emphasis on panya, they think that one is ignoring sila and samadhi.
Yeah.
But that's not correct at all, because with the development of panya, the understanding about sila and samadhi increases also.
It is together.
It is together.
Yeah. Like Usuchin always says, when there's a moment of awareness, it's higher sila, higher samadhi, and higher panya together at the same time. Adi sila, adi citta, adi panya.
When we read about sila, for example, Patimokkha sila, and about how it is for the sake of restraint, and that is for the sake of this, for the sake of this, and then for the sake of knowledge, these are the kinds of quotes that people take as suggesting there has to be a foundation of sila first. So would you say, well, this is just that level of sila? Because if one just performs good deeds on and on without any understanding, as we said, no understanding will arise. So why does it say in these quotes about sila for the sake of freedom, for remorse, for the sake of joy, for the sake of concentration, for the sake of knowledge?
Yeah. Who see the advantage of sila?
Right, well, there's the sutta that Bhikkhu Bodhi wrote a thing on, was it Upanisya Sutta? You start with sila, then through sila comes samadhi, through samadhi comes panya. So a lot of that's often quoted by many people. Many people look at that, so they try very hard to establish sila based on that sutta, and they think from that it will all
progress
naturally. Whereas they would say going to panya first is going the wrong way. It's starting at the top. You should be starting with sila and letting it progress. I mean, that's a very common belief.
Yeah.
Thailand and the rest everywhere. Of the world, everywhere,
like,
really.
Like Samadhi is the fox of the course of Panya. Yeah, exactly, that's always another, quoted.
That suited that one, yeah.
So when you say, who sees the advantage of sila, well, we could say that only the one who has developed understanding sees the advantage of sila. Otherwise, maybe it's accumulated, and by character someone may have good sila, but if there's no panya, one doesn't see the advantage. So in that case, when it says, oh, sila is for the sake of restraint, for the sake of, you mean it's implied already that it's sila with understanding? Is this
wrong? So the person who doesn't have any understanding cling to sila instead of knowing what quality sila is and why they should or develop sila on and on. What's the purpose of having sila? Not for oneself. What at the moment of having a kusla, it cannot be sila at all. So one can see in the day there are moments of a kusla instead of sila. The person who knows this condition, sila, wholesome moment, instead of unwholesome moment. Because sila is wholesome moment, and when it's not sila, it's unwholesome moment. So in a day one can see, if we don't read about we should have sila for panya or for samadhi, but even just ordinary sila in a day, it means or indicates that when there is no sila, there is akusala.
So what you're saying is that if it is
by knowing or understanding,
or if one just is developing sila just for the sake of having sila, or just for being attached to sila for oneself, it's useless. It's only if it is sila for the sake of detachment or for the sake of developing understanding.
And knowing that moment of sila is wholesome moment.
So this is what is meant by discipline for the sake of for the sake of knowledge.
Everyone would like to have less akusala, right?
Right.
And some would cling to having more kusala.
Yes.
So how can it be eradicated?
By not clinging?
Because that is because of the idea of self. So the first thing is to understand reality as they are, to eradicate the idea of self. Even sila or samadhi or panya should be just for...
I understand this, but if I said that to someone, they would show that sutta that I just quoted about progression from sila to samadhi to panya. So they would say you're arguing, you're disagreeing with the Buddha by saying the sutra is very clear.
Anyone who does not believe in the teachings in Buddha, in Dhamma, in Sangha, can have sila, right?
Yes.
What about the sila of those people and the sila of those who have...
That's my argument too. I say, well, what about... I know many people from other religions that have better sila, but there is no understanding. So sila doesn't necessarily lead to understanding.
So when one comes across that sila is better than the refuge of the three gems, it means that after having the three gems, the kusala develops by all means. Sila, dhammasti, and panya or dana by understanding realities. But for those who have just sila without understanding, there is no way to have better sila like samadhi and panya.
Sila, in a sense, can we say?
In Tipitaka, it says that sila leads to arahatamaka.
Yes, and so does dana, it sometimes says, doesn't it, in a sense?
Because with what do we think about sila? It seems like something not ordinary life at all. It is sila, spelling S-I-L-A, something like that. Mm-hmm. But actually, it's moment of kusala, see, in the day. Depending on by means of dana, or by means of samatha, or by means of studying, or by means of developing awareness. But there must be sila, because all kinds of kusala must be sila. If citta is kusala without giving dana, it's still sila. But when there is giving at that moment, there are also wholesome cetasikas, which cannot lead to ill deeds and ill speech, and that is sila. When kusala arises, what about the deeds and speech? Wholesome, by ways of wholesomeness, sila, not by means of dana or samatha or satipatthana. But there must be sila. That's why sila is foundation of all wholesomeness. So it's just the word, but we should understand why it's called sila and what sila is and what does it mean. At what moment is sila?
Actually, these quotes are very deep. There's a lot of...
That's why we cannot just understand the teachings by few words. We have to study carefully, thoroughly from here and there until we have the clear understanding of the teachings about what is there.
Suttas are so often used to prove certain points of view. They say, this sutta says that, this sutta says that.
But what about the understanding of what is said? It's not by one's own level of understanding.
Yeah. Hard to explain.
Yeah. I think I used to think that sila was not particularly important. I used to think that the development of understanding was the only thing that mattered. But I tend to see it more now that sila very much supports the development of understanding. But one doesn't think of sila as something separate from development of understanding. Yeah. It's not as though there's practicing sila and practicing samadhi and practicing understanding. They're just different aspects of kusala, as Ajahn has just been explaining.
Usually we come across the term sila, samadhi and panya. Mm. What about dana, see? Mm. It seems like it's left out, but actually when citta is kusala, it's sila. And what about the degree of it, whether it at the level of giving things or samatha or vipassana?
In a lot of sense, dana is more difficult than sila.
For some people, it's easier for them, yeah. Just to give.
Right.
But what about the speech and deeds? If they don't mind, they can just give.
Right.
But hurt people with deeds and speech?
Like letting other people know your good deeds. It's a way of dana.
Uh-huh. I think for me, conceit often gets in the way of dana.
One knows the very refined mana, conceit. For example, the person who gives sometimes have the idea that I'm the giver. It's a kind of kusala tool to anumotana if one doesn't know no way to anumotana. But it doesn't mean that we should tell everyone so that they would anumotana. It depends.
Yes.
Yeah.
When is the right moment,
yes,
or opportunity?
If you know the right person.
Also
and
person.
Even you don't tell them, they can know by different means.
Right. Yeah. There's no rule. There's no rule about
no.
giving. There's no rule about anumodering.
Yeah. Rule yeah. about telling people
right.
on the stand.
Absolutely.
Sometimes one yeah. doesn't need to say anything at all.
The more pure kusala.
Yeah.
On DSG, this is another question. Sarah and Nina were having a discussion about kanda and upadana kanda, and so Ken was telling me there was a discussion
oh,
here yesterday.
Yes.
See, I've always understood it the way Nina understands it. I'm totally confused by this discussion between the two of you about kanda and upadana kanda. So if someone can summarise what happened yesterday. What is the story? I'm lost here.
Yeah, it's such a difficult subject,
yes.
And I quoted Venerable Bodhi. And I quoted the commentary, but what Venerable Bodhi said was not quite so clear.
Yes.
And Ajahn explained to us, upadana kanda is at the moment you cling, there is upadana kanda. And in the commentary it says, the Buddha taught upadana kanda because of insight, the field of insight, which is right, because it's the present moment. So we should refer to the present moment rather than thinking of something abstract.
Okay, so what is the difference between kanda and upadana kanda? I'm still...
Yeah. What is Kanda first?
Kanda is the five Kanda. I know what Kanda is. That's easy for me.
Yeah. I find it difficult in this subject.
If there is no understanding of Dhamma, no understanding of the conditioned Nama and Rupa, can there be the understanding of Kanda?
Yeah, okay. Well, not that level of understanding, right?
So Kanda is Dhamma, for
yes,
sure.
Yes.
Absolute reality.
It's all, everything except Nibbana that's ultimate.
All conditioned realities
Sankara
are Kanda.
Yes.
So all Chitta and Chetasikas and Rupa are Kanda.
Yes.
So no doubt about,
no doubt about that. Yeah.
About that. And what about the Upadana and the Kanda?
I would have thought that Upadana Kanda
just
is...
Just Upadana Kanda.
Kandas, that they are the object of clinging.
Kanda is Kanda.
Kanda is Kanda.
Always Kanda.
Yes.
But what is Upadana?
Clinging.
Clinging. So now Kanda arises and falls away by conditions.
Yes.
We cannot imagine mm-hmm. how many of them. Are they Upadana Kanda? Or are they just Kanda?
Both.
Who clings?
You mean, are you suggesting if there's Kanda arising and falling away, they're not object. Then at that moment they are only Kanda, they're not Upadana Kanda.
Right.
Okay.
But there are two meanings.
Yeah.
Well, that's one aspect. Another
yeah,
aspect is they're also clingable. They can be clung to.
The result of karma is also another aspect of it. There's all the rupas of the body that are conditioned by karma, also in this sense, upadana.
Right, right, that's right.
We read
that,
often
right, yeah,
clung
another,
to, clung
yes,
to,
yes.
That is the idea. So it's about rupa, I think.
And does an arahata have upadana kanda?
No.
What aspect?
With the second aspect.
The karma.
No clinging. But his karma conditioned rupa
okay.
is Upadana Kanda.
Okay.
Yeah, the heart
because
base,
it derived from Upadana, previous Kanda, karma.
In some ways this confuses a little bit. It makes things harder when they have
yeah.
these little definitions
yeah.
like this, doesn't it?
But if we understand yeah. this, it's not,
it's,
be,
it's not so
yeah.
hard to understand
it's
that.
Okay. It has to be like that, yeah.
What was the purpose of teaching it in this way, though? Why not just talk about Kanda?
The difference between the Kanda and the Upadana Kanda. Because there are both the word Kanda and Upadana
Kanda,
so there must be the difference.
Because most writers, they talk about them like they're the same, or they talk about Kanda, Upadana Kanda, as if it's referring to the same realities apart from a few Lokutra Chittas. It doesn't make any sense, like the...
Well, it did make
rupas,
sense to me, actually, before.
The rupas out there, I mean, they're kandas, but they're not upadana kandas. If there's no clinging to them.
Okay.
No, and then we had the word upadaniya, subject to clinging. Their venerable body had
yeah.
a note.
That's what I always thought. They are the ones out there, are upadana kanda, because they, if they were an object of consciousness, they would be.
But they arise and fall away in split seconds.
Yes.
And this one is not the same previous one.
Yes.
It must be very exact which
okay.
one is Upadana Kanda.
Or if it's grasping to it, and Upadani
yeah.
refers to that same one. It doesn't mean, oh, in theory, that Rupa could be clung to or
yeah,
no,
otherwise it seems
correct.
Like abstract.
Not correct.
Yeah.
But it's still Kanda.
It's Kanda, of course, all conditioned dhammas.
I asked yesterday about dosa. Say we have dosa. Ajahn said, well, the dosa is conditioned by the loba anyway, by the clinging.
But the fact is that we know a lot, theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
But what about dhamma right now, as dhamma? So one can say, how far apart from people's understanding and the Buddha's enlightenment.
Also on the DSG, Sukhidni, you made a comment. Someone asked you, is there any experience that you think I am this experience? And you said no. And Nina said, oh, it's more subtle than that. I'd be interested to hear your comment on it, Khunsu Chin.
What do you mean when you say no?
When I say no is... when he's asking me to do it, I can't just do it. I can't just think it. It's like he's suggesting me to an exercise to determine, and I can't do it. You know what I mean?
Mm.